Open your Bibles, please, to the book of John, the 15th chapter. John chapter 15 in your Schofield Bible, page 1137. We'll be reading, 1136 rather. We'll be reading verses 1 through 7. And we'll read the verses responsively. John chapter 15, verses 1 through 7, page 1136. And may we stand, all of us standing, for the reading of God's Word. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. And let's read together also the 7th verse. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. And let's pray. Father, bless, we pray, the truth of the word to our hearts, to our learning. Help and bless our preacher with thy touch of power, and strengthen him for the message and us for the hearing of it. In Jesus' name, amen.
There are several ways that I get my sermons. From Spurgeon's books, from the Sword of the Lord, and other creative ways. There are several ways I get my sermons. Some of them I get after having counsel with people, and the people ask me about the same problem. And I feel a dozen folks or so have had the same problem. Out of 100 or so I've talked to during the week, I feel that's a good enough percentage of the church to feel that maybe many people in the congregation with whom I've not talked may have the same problem. I won't go into it, how I get them. I spent almost 2 hours talking to the preacher boys the night on how to choose a sermon. But occasionally, and such is the case this morning, I'm asked the same question by many people. And I've been besieged lately with a question that whose answer is not difficult, is not deep, but it's not known either by most. And this morning I'm coming to answer that question. This will not be what you'd call a dynamic sermon. It's simply the answer to a question. I do believe, however, it is one of the vital things in the Christian life. I'm going to speak this morning on the subject, what it means to abide in Christ. What it means to abide in Christ. And the sermon is as simple as the title. I have no great truth to uncover. I have no profound truth to deliver that you've not heard before. I have no deep theological tidbit to share with you that I've discovered in the minds of the Word of God this week as I've been probing. I simply want to talk to you this morning about something most of you don't know about, and it's as simple as 2 and 2 is 4 and cheese and crackers go together. It's just as simple as can be. What it means to abide in Christ. If I were to ask you this morning to tell me what it means, and not 3 of you in the house could tell me what it means to abide in Christ. And I want to talk to you this morning about it. Father, bless, I pray, our message today in a special way to our hearts. And dear Lord, wouldn't it be a good thing this morning if because of our 30 minutes or so together, you'd get to fellowship with those whom you love a little more. Make it so, and give us attentiveness now to the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. It is so easy to quote passages and not understand them. I'm talking about the simple passages. Somebody said the other day, Brother Hiles, you take the verses I've known all my life. And you teach me things I never saw in those verses. Such is the case in the little words, abide in me. Abide in me. Several times in the first seven verses, of starting, I think, with verse 3 or 4 of John 15, you have the little word, he that abideth in me, or abide in me, my words abide in you. If you abide in me, he that abideth in me, and so forth. Several times, I'm guessing, I'm going to throw a guess out and say 25 times in the last few days. I've spoken, by the way, are you listening? I've spoken, by the way, recently a lot on the word abide, abide in Christ. I've told you the word abide in the Greek is the same root word which we get the word mansion in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions, or the word abide, we mansion in Christ. And so many people have said, Brother House, you've spoken so much lately about the words abide in Christ. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Now, I decided that I'd find out. And the best way to find out is to ask somebody intelligent. So I asked myself. I started asking folks. I'd walk up to somebody and I'd say, what does it mean to abide in Christ? I guess I went to 25 people and asked that question. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Brother Colston, what does it mean to abide in Christ? I don't know either. And Brother Lavin, what does it mean to abide in Christ? It's a good thing you came this morning, isn't it? Brother Dr. Evans, you know what it means, Brother Bullard? You don't know, but you're here to learn. You came to the right place, I'll guarantee you. Now, the truth is, that's not a trick question. These fellows are just dumb, that's all. But it's not a trick question. The honest, simple truth is, hardly anybody in this room. Now, I did not get one answer. And I asked people that knew the Bible. I'm talking about I ask people like singing the bass section of the choir, great Bible scholars. Can't sing a lick, but they're great Bible scholars. And I asked people, what does it mean to abide in Christ? You know, to this minute, I don't have an answer yet. What does it mean to abide in Christ? Now, one person did say, I'm striving to do it. Now, the truth is, you don't strive to abide in Christ. It would cause me or take no effort on my part at all to abide in this pulpit for a long time. The effort is to leave the pulpit. I mean, I'm here. Now, it would take no strength or energy or effort on my part to abide in this pulpit. You see, you don't abide by effort. You abide by cessation of effort. That's the way you abide. It takes energy to leave the house, not to stay in the house. Well, it depends on what your wife's going to ask you to do while you're in the house. But the cessation of effort is the abiding. And the expenditure of effort is the not abiding. Hey, that's the way you got saved. You got saved by quitting your effort. You're trying to get saved, trying to save yourself. You're frustrated and so forth. And one day you said, oh, I can't do it. Jesus, here I am. And you ceased your effort. You ceased your labor. And let him do his own labor. And by ceasing to do the work, you let him do the work. As a little girl, and I use this often, who got saved one Sunday, she went home, told her mommy, Mommy, I got saved today. And the mommy said, what did you do to get saved? The little girl said, nothing, Mama. I just did the letting, and Jesus did the doing. And that's the way you get saved. You do the letting. Anybody this morning here not saved? What do you got to do? Say, Jesus, here I am, do it. And you believe, and don't try to work to save yourself. Don't try any effort to save yourself. Just cast on Jesus your eternity, and realizing that you're a sinner, and sinners are lost and condemned, but that Christ Jesus came to the world to save sinners, paid your penalty on the cross, rose again after 3 days and three nights, and you say, I believe it, and I believe he died for me, and here I am. Jesus, do your work, and I guarantee you he'll do his work of salvation. Now, as I said, I can abide in this pulpit for hours without putting forth any strength. I need strength to get out of this pulpit or to leave this pulpit. Now, what is abiding in Christ? Listen carefully. simply, it is just being with Him. Just being with Him. It does not mean perpetual consciousness of Christ. It does not mean always being in prayer. It don't mean you got to squint your eyes. Lord, I'm here, I'm here, I'm here. Lord, it doesn't mean that. It just means being with Him. Now, listen carefully. Sometimes you talk to Him while you're with Him. Sometimes you think of Him. Sometimes you do His work. Sometimes you pray to Him. Sometimes you read the paper with Him. Look, when you abide with somebody, there are all kinds of different things you do. But you don't always stand. You don't kiss your wife 24 hours a day. Boy, I'd hate to see those lips coming at me, Stan. Yours, I mean, not hers. But, as big as it. Anyway, but I'm saying this. By the way, you sometimes, Stan, you're with her. Sometimes you read the paper, she reads the funny paper. Sometimes you read a book, and she reads a book. Sometimes you tell her how much you love her. Sometimes you don't even know where she's there. You're studying, but she's there. Now, abiding in Christ is being with Him. I love this subject, and it's not a deep subject, but I love it. It means a great deal to me. I'm in a motel room somewhere, and Jesus is there, and I'm with Him. Now, it's time to eat. And I don't like to go to a restaurant. I don't like to go to a restaurant and eat, period, but especially by myself. So I hardly ever go. I could go to a restaurant and sign the ticket, if the motel has one, or hotel, and sign the ticket. It wouldn't cost me anything. But I don't like to do that. And so I'll pick up the little room service menu there, and I'll look and see what they have, and I'll say, Jesus, what I need. He'll tell me, and then I order what I want to eat in the first place. I may say, Jesus, control my mind as I make my decision of what I ought to eat today. And then they'll bring me a salad of some kind. And they'll bring me a salad, and I'll put the salad on a little table there, and I'll get me a sport page and put it over here on this side. Oh, you say you're not abiding in Christ. Oh, yes, He's there. He's there. Do you ever read the sport page with your family? You live in the same house. You maybe sit together. And maybe, fellas, you're reading the sport page. And your wife is reading the editorials in the newspaper. And you sit there. Now you're together. You're not smooching. You're together. You're abiding. Now, in the motel room, I may be eating. And I'll take a bite of that cheese quarter pounder. And I may say, dear Lord, this sure is good. Or I may say, Lord, You sure have been good to me. Most of the people in the world today would be the best meal they ever ate if they ate what I'm eating right now. And I may say, Jesus, You sure have been good to me. And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joys we share. And I don't get on my knees. Let's have this microphone here. I don't get on my knees, and I'm about to eat me a cheese quarter pounder and some French fries. And I don't say, Thou the great God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, I come to Your presence in the mighty power of the Holy Spirit in the name of the matchless name of Christ. Oh, God, thank You for this hamburger. I don't do that. Now, there are times I'll pray like that. But to abide in Christ, you can't do that all the time. There's just no way you can do it all the time. Now, that means if you abide in Christ, you live with Him. And that means everything you do with Him. That means if you eat, you may say, Lord, you're conscious of His presence. If you're eating, if you're in your wife are home eating chitlins and watermelon, for example, for lunch, for example, And that's what they eat, 3 meals a day, 365 days a year. And so they're home. Now, they may be eating. And she says to him, "Boy, these chitlins are good, aren't they?" He says, "Boy, this watermelon sure is good, too." Now, listen. They go back to eating. She's reading the paper. He's reading the sport page. They go back to reading, maybe, or eating. And he may forget she's there. But do you know, when something tastes especially good, he thinks of her. He says, "Honey, boy, this is good, isn't it?" She said, "I never ate anything better than this in my life. My, isn't this delicious?" And they go back, and maybe, betting about him. She didn't have to, he didn't say, "What are you thinking about?" She said, "I'm thinking about this paper." And he says, "You're not thinking about me." And she said, "Honey, I can't think about you all the time. I lose my appetite. But I can't think about you all the time. I can't do it." Now, you see, he thinks of her. He reads something in the paper, and he says, "Did you hear about the Dallas Cowboys? They were behind 27-6 in the fourth quarter. Let's talk about that for a while." And they're behind 27-6 in the fourth quarter. She said, "Did they come back and win?" He said, "They sure did." And she said, "God is still on his throne." Now listen. He may go back to reading. And he may forget she's there for a while. But she's there. I guess nobody ever did this like that I've ever known, like John Rice did. We'd be driving in a car to the service, and I hear Dr. Rice mumbling, and I'd listen carefully, and he'd say, oh God, give me power. Oh God, help me as I preach." Then he'd talk a while. And we'd talk together. And then I hear him say, "Oh, God." You see, he talked to me as much as he talked to God. "Ma Sunday told me, Billy Sunday, do that." They'd walk down the street. It's always a three-way conversation. Always was. She said, "Billy, would talk to God and talk to Ma and talk to God and talk to Ma and listen to Ma and talk to God." And she said, "I never knew sometime who's talking to me or talking to God." You see, abiding in Christ is living with him, sharing all of life with him, taking him into every phase of your life, every facet of your life, every activity of your life. It doesn't mean that you got to have a strained look on your face. It doesn't mean you got to be hollering. It doesn't even mean you even need to be conscious that there's a God in heaven at the time. But you know it's there, and if you think of something good, you think of him. I was bowling with Dr. Rice. We didn't do that often, but one day he wanted to go bowling. And I went bowling with him. And he was about 78 years old that day. Well, man, I was in my late 40s, and I thought, good night, it'd be easy on the old man. And I was ahead of him after three frames, way ahead of him. I'd gotten two strikes and a spare, and he hadn't gotten anything yet. And I heard him, he got the ball. He lined up, always shook it a little bit, lined up like that. And he said, "Oh, God, help me to win." And I said, "I know when I'm beat." No way. And God helped him. And he won. Yeah. And if I'd have beat him, I'd have felt like I betrayed Dr. Rice and God, too. But isn't that sweet? "Oh, God." And, you know, I would have thought he said, "Oh, God, give me power while I preach. Oh, may the Holy Spirit come on me. Oh, God, help me to win." I'd tell him a joke, and he'd say, "Jesus, isn't that funny?" And he said, "Jesus, have you heard that one?" And Jesus always had heard it. And you know, I often tell the Lord a joke. "You say what? The Lord?" "Yeah, the Lord likes funny things. That's why he made you." I'm saying, look, we used to have an old deacon in East Texas. Every Sunday morning he'd pray, "Dear Lord, we come into thy presence this morning." And I always want to nudge him and say, "Hey, where you been all week?" He just wants you to live with him. He wants you to share something funny with him. He wants you to talk to him about the food. He wants to be a part of your life. And that's what it means to abide in Christ. I remember one time I went to Dr. Rice's room. And he was on his knees. We were sharing a little apartment-like thing. I had a room here and a connecting room between. And he's on his knees. And he had a bill like that, a bill he's praying about. And he said, "Dear God, this is a bill for the sword of the Lord." Now, he said, "The paper is yours, not mine." He said, "Lord, if it's one of my debts, I'd pay it. What you going to do about yours?" He said, "Lord, if you'll check the sword of the Lord, your name's in the big print at the top, and my name's in the little print down underneath." Up and said, "Didn't say the sword of John Rice, the sword of the Lord." "The Lord, you started this paper. I didn't. It's your paper, it's not mine. What you going to do about it?" Now, I wouldn't do that. That's why he got his bills paid and I still owe mine. That's what you call abiding in Christ. I wish I could sweetly tiptoe up beside you this morning. I wish I could tap you on the shoulder and say, "There's a God in heaven that wants to live with you. He wants to be a part of everything you do." I wish I could tell you how sweet that is. I remember one night I went to Tampa, Florida. And so I checked in the hotel. I got there late. It was after the service. I was going to preach on Tuesday morning. I got there on Monday night late. And so I went to check in. And the fellow said, "What's your name?" I said, "Jack Hiles." He said, "We don't have any reservation for Jack Hiles." I said, "Look, man, I'm speaking tomorrow here at the Temple Heights Baptist Church." And he said, "We didn't know you were coming tonight. We have a reservation for tomorrow. We haven't got any rooms." I said, "Any room?" He said, "We haven't got any rooms." I said, "Man, I got to sleep somewhere." Well, he said, "It'll be another motel." And I said, "Do you have a fellow here named John Rice?" "Oh, yes." I said, "Call him. Tell him I'm here. I'll sleep in his room." "Does he have two beds in his room?" "Yeah." So, call him. And Dr. Rice wasn't asleep yet. I went to his room. I was scared to death. I had never spent the night with John Rice, never slept in the same room, scared to death. I knew he'd read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, and Romans, and 1st, 2nd Corinthians, and memorize Philippians before he went to bed. I knew that. And I knew I'd be stuck praying an hour and a half. I knew he'd pray for every missionary in the world, and the great giant of God. And so, boy, time came to go to bed. I got my Bible out real sanctimonious-like, and ready to read the Word of God with the great giant of God. You know what he did? He crawled in. He didn't open his Bible. He didn't say a prayer. He crawled in bed. He fluffed his pillow, sat up in bed, looked that way, and said, "Yep." Looked that way and said, "Okay." Looked back that way, put his chin down, went to sleep. I mean, he was snoring within 5 seconds. And I thought, well, what's so hot about him? I at least say, "Now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. Our God is great. God is good. Let us thank Him for the bed. And so, since he didn't read his Bible, I didn't read mine either. I decided I'd spend more nights with him. I went off to sleep. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, I heard a "oh." I woke up. That old man was down beside his bed. And he had lifted the whole globe of the world and put it on his broad shoulders. And he was crying for my country. "Oh, God, bring back citywide revivals. Oh, God, do something for this nation. Oh, God, hear me." You see, if you live with God, you don't have to all the time decide when you're going to agonize. I was on an airplane with him. Once again, never flown with him before. So I took my Bible out of the briefcase and walked up on the airplane. Normally don't do it. Put it in the briefcase. Hide it with a newspaper or something. I'm just kidding. But this time I took it out and carried it because I was with a great giant of God. Got on the airplane. He opened his briefcase. And I already have a Bible out because I knew he was going to read his. He gets the Zane Grey novel out and reads it. Zane Grey Western. I thought, I'm a better Christian than he is. Now listen to me, folks. I've said this so often. A great, mighty, omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient God in heaven. That's not enough. It's not enough to come. That's why this morning all over the world people come in and they come to church and they sing the Lord is in His holy temple, that all the earth keeps silence, and they have their candles burning, and they have their big preachers have their big kimonos on. And the pulpit over here, and the pulpit over here, and we come into the presence, the August presence. It is not His August presence this morning. It's His October presence this morning. And we come into the presence, and we come and hold it, and leave and forget Him, and drink their liquor, and smoke their cigarettes, and dip their cocktails, and live like the heathen, and go to their discos, and listen to their rock music. Listen, that's not what concerns Almighty God. God comes this morning and says, I want to live with you. I want to abide with you. Make me a part of everything in your life. Let me be a part of your eating, your drinking, your down setting, your getting up, your sleeping. Let me be a part of your play. Let me have a part in everything, and let me be there. And let's abide and live together and stay together. It may be that God doesn't enter your mind. I want to say it while you're abiding with Him, but He's there. There's no pressure. I remember old Pappy Reveal. He used to do worse than John Ryan. See, he's down at the Evansville Rescue Mission. Little short, crippled fella. One of the greatest prayers I ever knew. Little Pappy Reveal. He'd put all his bills out on the floor and say, Dear Lord, here are the bills. You started this work. I pay my bills. I'm an honest man. How about you? He'd drive down the street. He barely could see over the dash. Little crippled fella. He'd drive down the street and say, Lord, you better put lanes on both fenders now. I can't see too well today. And the Lord put an angel on both fenders. He'd go fishing. Pappy Reveal would say, Lord, now look, bring the fish. My pole's going right here. Bring them over here. Come on, bring them over. I haven't got time. I got to get back to work now. If I get relaxation, I got to have it in a hurry. But come on. Now you say, Brother Hines, isn't that a little bit presumptuous to talk to God like that? It is for a while. You don't talk on your honeymoon like that. To your wife or husband. You're too busy saying Gucci goo, boopsie whoopsie. But you don't. By the way, Dr. Rice and I worked together so many years. After 20 years or so, I could say things that nobody else could say. We'd come down after a night's rest and eat about a breakfast. Now, I'm not a breakfast eater, but if I could eat with him, I'd eat. And I'd sit across the table and I'd say, Dr. Rice, what, did you sleep good? He said, No, I confess my sins all night. No, confess sin all night. I said, Well, as many sins as you got, probably took all night. He said, Not confessing mine is confessing yours. Now, wait a minute. I wouldn't suggest that you walk up to Dr. Lee Robertson next time you see him if you don't know him and say, Dr. Robertson, did you confess all your sins? Took you all night, didn't it? No, I didn't do that the first conference I was with Dr. John Rice either. But after I got to know him well, and 22 years we traveled together, and 2,200 times we shared the same pulpit, then I could be very familiar with him. And let me say this without being presumptuous or even boastful. If you walk with God as much as I do, and if you knew him as well as I do, and if you've been alone with him as much as I have, you can tell him a joke too. Be sure it's a clean one. He doesn't like dirty ones. You tell him a joke too. And you could be real personal too. See, God likes your company. I remember one time I was down in Greenville, South Carolina, and I was late to catch the airplane, and no way humanly I could catch the airplane if it's on time. No way! And the pastor said, okay. I said, Master, my plane leaves in 20 minutes. How long does it get to the airport? He says it takes 30 minutes if anybody else drives you. If my custodian drives you, it takes 20. I said, he drive faster? No, he said, the lights all change for him. We got in the car. I said, I want to go with the custodian. Got in the car. He said, Dear Lord, make all the lights green. And I thought, that's the silliest thing I've heard of in my life. I've asked God to make 1,000 lights green. They stayed red and hung on red. We took off. We must have gone through 20 stoplights. And there, 19 of them were green. But the 20th one, you could see it about a half mile away, and a few blocks away, it turned green. And you know how you'll do. You'll say, oh, it's going to be red when I get there. And that thing stayed green, stayed green, stayed green, stayed green, stayed green, stayed green. And the fellow said, Lord, keep it green, keep it green, keep it green, keep it green. You know what I found out later? That the Lord kept it green all night. It stuck on green and never changed. You know, there's so much for you God has if you just take advantage of it. Wouldn't it be a good thing if you'd say, Lord, thank you for this good hamburger. Lord, thank you. It sure is good. And maybe I'd lay down and take a little 10-minute nap sometime in the afternoon. And I'll lay down and I'll say, Lord, this sure feels good. This sure feels good. That's what you'd say if Dr. Eisenhower were in a room and I'd say, well, this is a comfortable bed. Why can't you say to the Lord, it's a comfortable bed? Why can't you say to the Lord, this is a good meal? The people that hear me pray around here, I'll guarantee you, Dr. Evans, what's the prayer you hear me pray more than any other prayer? Wisdom our decisions and control our minds. Control our minds. Control my mind. Dear Lord, control my mind and help me to know what you want. So, you know, I was talking to the fellows a while ago and I asked them a question. I said, do you think, fellows, that prayer might be God enticing us to get us to come spend some time with Him and giving us what He could give us without prayer, but He makes the good things accessible to us by prayer so He can get us to Him so we can spend some time. Thank Him some. Worship Him some. Go about your business some. Confess some. Pray some. Eat some. Sleep some. Plead some. Love some. That's what it means when it says, if you abide in me, abide in me. Just stay. Well, you say, how do I know? Go on there. Acknowledge His presence. He says, come to me. Okay, you come to Him and say, ask Him for something. Ask Him for a Snicker or a Mars bar, better still, a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. Say, Lord, give me a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. And then when you get through praying, just don't leave. And just stay there. And just stay there. And just stay there. If you'd stayed in as many hotel rooms as I stayed in for all these many years, and if you're approaching 5 million air miles now, flying all over this country, and if you'd have gone to as many beds at night in different places as I have, and if you'd eaten as many meals in a motel room alone as I have, I think you'd feel a need for fellowship. I think you'd feel a need to have somebody with you. I haven't told this story in years, and I'll close with it. Just thought about it. I told it at the ordination service the other night. I hadn't told it in years. I was flying to California. We had a stopover in Phoenix, Arizona. I got on the plane in Chicago. A big, heavy-set fellow in his 70s. Had a rough face. Looked like a farmer or a cowboy. And I found out he was a rancher. And I sat down beside him. And I said, where do you live, sir? He said, I live, not far from Phoenix, Arizona, out on a ranch. I said, you live there alone? He said, yes, I do. He said, said just a few months ago, my wife died. Oh, he said, I miss her. I said, anybody there at all? No, live by myself. And I said, sir, if you could find somebody that could live with you and wouldn't sure cost you a thing, and somebody that I guarantee you get along with, would you like to have him come and live with you? And that big old, strong, robust rancher with his face roughened by many an outdoor night and the rounding up of many cattle and a man of some wealth, he looked at me and he said, if I could find somebody, I'd get along with him. I'm so lonesome. He said, if I could find somebody, he said, I'd pay him. I said, well, this person I have in mind won't cost you a thing. And he said, okay. He got his pen out and said, "What's his name?" And I said, "His name is Jesus." And I told him the gospel story. And he got saved. And he got off the plane. And he said to me, "This wealthy rancher," he said, "thank you for telling me about somebody to move in with me." He said, "I'll never be lonely again." And I sang all the way on the trip, "No longer lonely, no longer lonely, for Jesus is a friend of friends to me. No longer lonely, no longer lonely, for Jesus is a friend of friends to me." I wish you knew what I'm talking about. I wish you'd say this morning, "I'm going to let him be a part of my life. We're going to live together. We're going to abide together. I'm going to reckon his presence." Doesn't mean you're always going to be, oh, God, give me power, give me... Sometimes you do that. That's a part of it. I set aside 15 minutes every day of my life or do nothing but pray for God's mighty power. But don't do it all the time. 7 times a day, as near as I can on schedule, I get on my knees and yield myself to the Holy Spirit to control my life that day. But that's not all I do. Sometimes I eat cheese quarter pounder. But he's there with me. Sometimes I talk to him, sometimes I don't. Sometimes I forget he's there. But every time I get a real good bite of cheese in a real and get a pickle in with it, I'll say, look up, and I'll say, "Lord, isn't that good? That sure is good. That sure is good." Then I'll start eating again and read about the cowboys. I got to tell you this. Whether you like it or not, I got to tell it. And I'll be through again. This is terrible. I hate to confess it. Does anybody here remember the game that the Dallas Cowboys played in the playoff game with Minnesota Vikings several years ago and the immaculate reception pass that Drew Pearson made? Remember that? You know why Drew Pearson caught that pass? I have never in my life done this. I haven't since. But I was so tired that day. And I said, just for that, the game was over. One more play, that's all. And the Cowboys had the ball way back in the middle of the field. And I said, "Lord, I never have done this before. But I said, I'm tired. It would please me, I think relax me a little bit, if the Cowboys win this game. I said, help them win." And he said, "That's silly. But okay, I'll do it." Remember that pass? Threw the ball down there. Other guy hit it. Not a chance for Drew Pearson to get it. And for some reason, he got it. And the whole country next day said, "Nobody knows yet what happened." He's a wonderful Savior. He's a wonderful friend. And he offers you the privilege and thrill and right just to abide with him and be with him all the time. Now, the way you start is come to him in faith, believing in him as your Savior. We have some men who will be at the altar in just a minute. And they'll take the Word of God and show you how you can be saved and come to Christ and Christ receive you as his own. When we stand and sing, would you leave your seat? Would you come from the balcony and all of the room toward the aisles and down the front? And would you say, "Yes, I'd like to receive Christ as my Savior today." Make this the day. "Him that cometh to me out of no wise cast out. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You know, a long time ago, I used to think when you preach, I'm going to close with this. Long time ago when I used to preach to sinners, I used to think, boy, the way to get sinners saved is say, okay, number one, number two, number three, number four, you ought to get saved, you're going to hell. And I think that's still okay. But you know how I've learned? I've learned that more people get saved when they find out how good it is to be saved. And you just brag on how good it is to be saved, and folks are hungry and they want it. As the little lady said, they sat in the balcony and couldn't understand English. He came down the aisle and got saved and said in Spanish. He didn't understand a word the preacher said, but she said, "It just looked so good. It is good. Shall we stand? The choir will sing. Come and say yes to Christ. We'll show you how to go to heaven when you die. Do it now as the choir sings.